Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We will be with you for the next 24 and a half minutes. And Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson. You're listening to American Family Radio. Fred, any new news on the hurricane?
Dahlia is now moving on that northeast track. It's showing it probably about now hitting Savannah, Georgia. Just noticed the governor of Georgia holding a news conference with their emergency preparation people. So this storm will track across through areas like Savannah. You mentioned our station in Valdosta.
We have a radio station in Valdosta.
Which, and it's off the air as far as we know.
It's off the air, yeah.
Yeah. And then it's going to move towards Charleston, South Carolina, and then a little bit of North Carolina. And then it's supposed to go out to sea from there.
Anybody in Charleston's listening right now want to call in? We'll get them a travel mug for just being that persistent.
I tell you what, let me ask you this. There's potential for this hurricane, which has been, is it downgraded to a tropical storm now? Probably.
I think
is.
It's a May, Cat 1.
Cat 1. Yeah. But it could go back out to sea in the Atlantic and reorganize.
That's what they were saying earlier this week. Kind of make a, it sounds weird, but kind of make a U-turn.
Yeah.
Get out over the ocean, make a U-turn and come back.
It's pretending like Florida is a climate protester blocking traffic.
Yes.
Yeah, true.
Hurricane magnet.
True. Anyway, all right, Steve, what's your first story?
Hey, let's talk about what's going on in Colorado Springs, my former home. There is a school there called Vanguard School. It's in D11, which is the downtown school district, but it is a charter school. And there was a student there, a young man, who decided he wanted to wear a patch to school on his backpack that had the Gadsden flag. You know the Gadsden flag? That's the one with the snake that says, "Don't tread on me." Well, he got pulled in to the principal's office. Can't have that, according to the teacher. I want to let you hear a little bit of this. Now,
it's hard to understand.
It's a little easier to understand on the radio than it was on my phone.
Okay.
So at least that's what we figure. So listen to cut 5, and we'll follow up.
You do not want to play that way. Is due to its origins with the slavery and slave trade, because we can't have that in and around other kids.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with slavery. That's like the Revolutionary War patch that was displayed when they were fighting the British. Like, that wasn't, that's the revolution. Maybe you're thinking of like the Confederate flags. Unless there's like a ban on patches, period. Like you said, there's no patches allowed at the school. You cannot display what you think or anything like that, or what cheer or anything like that. I think it's like one-sided, you know, because you allow some patches, but not other patches.
Okay, that was an exchange between the teacher and the parent.
And the parent, the student was in the, didn't speak, but the student.
How old is your young man?
I think he's about 11.
Yeah, he's, like, he's 12 years
12
old.
12 years old?
So like, I'm not sure if it was the teacher or the principal.
Oh, you may have been the principal talking
principal
there?
Principal and the mom. Yeah, somebody recorded this in the principal's office, I think. The mom and the little boy is sitting there.
This happened yesterday? The day before, something like that?
In the last several days.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if you heard the principal say this symbol is a symbol of slavery.
Right.
And the mom says, no, it's not.
Right.
It has nothing to do with slavery.
And the mom's right.
And the mom is right.
It's called the Gadsden, what is it called?
Gadsden flag. G-A-D-S-O-N.
And it goes back, as the mother was saying, to the Revolutionary War. Right? Yes. The War for Independence, right?
Yes. And noticed how the principal then changed her story. Oh, well, we don't allow patches. And then the mom comes back and says, oh, yes, you do. Kids have other patches on
right
there. And I think it was it you that said that they went out to the parking lot where the kids, the cars were?
That wasn't me, but I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, and there's just
bumper stickers.
All kinds of bumper stickers celebrating various causes.
So what happened? Did the kid get to, what's the latest?
So all of a sudden, Governor Jared Polis sticks up for the kid and the Gadsden flag.
He's a Democrat.
He's a gay Democrat.
And says, no, the mom's right. This doesn't have anything to do with slavery. And then yesterday, so this happened on Monday. Yesterday, the school board, the board of directors of Vanguard, which is, again, it's a charter school, puts out this. They say, yesterday the student returned with the patch still visible on his backpack. Following the district's direction, Vanguard administrators pulled the student aside so that they could speak with his parents and the district. Upon learning of these events today, the Vanguard School Board of Directors called an emergency meeting. From Vanguard's founding, we have proudly supported our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the ordered liberty that all Americans have enjoyed for almost 250 years. The Vanguard School recognizes the historical significance of the Gadsden flag and in its place and its place in history. The incident is an occasion for us to reaffirm our deep commitment to a classical education in support of these American principles. And they've informed the student's family that he may attend the school with the Gadsden flag patch visible on his backpack.
Now, why do you think the well, good for the school for reversing the school board. That was a school board, right?
It's called the board of directors because it's a charter school.
Charter school, yeah.
Yeah, but they issued that statement. Yes.
And they signed it with their names.
Okay, well, good for them because what triggered this teacher?
Well, that's why I'd like an investigation of this. What triggered this teacher or the principal, whoever it was, that authority at the school, to automatically think this had something to do with slavery? What triggered that?
I can speculate. Speculate. Go ahead, because I think we're on the same track.
Yeah. Here. There was some teacher at the school said, that looks sinister. It must have to do with slavery. Let's haul this kid in.
Right. Right. She didn't do her homework or research.
No. Of course not.
I have another thought about that, too.
Go.
The New Yorker has an article called The Shifting Symbolism of the Gadsden Flag. So it was a popular flag among Trump supporters during the 2016 election. Mm-hmm. Don't tread on me. We're you know,
it goes back to the Tea Party.
It goes back to, right. All of those
things. Don't tread on me. It's an anti-government statement.
Right. All of those things went back to, again, the freedom thing. And so the teacher, everybody looks at anything that's like American. Now, American flags are thought to be racist now. And race, of course, is a shorthand word for anything that they don't like.
Right.
Like fascist is.
I think you're onto it, Steve.
That's, I think, what happened. I think because some Trump supporters or the movement may have used it.
Well, it is a symbol of resistance to, I say resistance to a federal government oppression, mm-hmm, in a larger sense. It is.
Yes.
But the symbolism of it goes back to the Revolutionary War and the oppression of the King of England against the colonists.
Yes.
So that's the origin. It has nothing to do with slavery.
Never did.
Never did. All right, next story.
All right. yesterday, I think the 2-year anniversary of the U.S. chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan. And you remember during that time, the U.S. lost 13 soldiers at the gate of the U.S. embassy that some people think was so mismanaged that it was didn't have to die necessarily. But you will also remember that they brought these bodies home, and as they were coming off the airplane, Joe Biden was there checking his watch like he really didn't want to be there. And it has just set these Gold Star families kind of off. So there was a hearing, a roundtable yesterday in front of one of the Republican committees in the House. And they had a guy named Mark Schmitz, the father of one of the fallen, who did not appreciate Joe Biden's attitude nor his leadership. And he had this to say, cut 12.
Mr. Biden has run his entire political campaign for 50 years as the family man. Well, I've got news for you, sir. the curtain has been lifting, and that campaign slogan will never work again. We have seen what's going on in your family, and even worse, we've seen how you've been treating us as Gold Star families. And there couldn't be anything more disgusting and cowardly than the way you have treated us. You are a disgrace to this nation. You have no business having ultimate command over our military, and I regret not saying that to your face when I had the opportunity in Dover. I felt it more important to bite my tongue, but I also had more important things on my mind at that time, like receiving my son's lifeless body stateside. While I stood there on the tarmac, watching you check your watch over and over again. But out of respect to the other grieving families, I bit my tongue once again. Well, as you could probably tell by now, I'm done biting my tongue. You, sir, stole their lives, their futures, their dreams, and have ripped apart 13 families. You cannot even man up and admit that.
Who is that?
His name is Mark Schmitz. Mm-hmm. His son was Marine Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz.
Yeah.
What was so important to President Joe Biden as he stood on the tarmac as the coffins of these young service people were being taken off the aircraft? What was on his mind that he had to not check his watch once, but over and over and over again?
That was awful. Just checking your watch once in that situation, you know, the cameras are all over you, right?
Yes.
And I mean, that's just extremely disrespectful and tacky, to say the least. And it makes you appear, especially if he does it multiple times, it makes you appear you don't really want to be there.
No, that you find this is a waste of time, that you have better things to do.
Yeah.
That's the signal he was giving to these families. No wonder they're upset.
Right.
And by the way, they're in Washington, D.C. You know, if the president wanted to mend his way with these dear folks,
right,
invite them over to the White House.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. That, or at least extend a apology personally on, you know, not a written statement, but a get before the camera and say, I apologize. That was inappropriate, my behavior that day, and I regret it.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry about that. That's what he's, and I apologize to these Gold Star families. That's what he should say. But anyway, why was this gentleman, why did they testify so long after the fact?
Well, it's 2 years, yesterday was 2 years ago that the bodies were brought home. 2 years ago that Biden was checking his watch and the Republicans were holding, had a roundtable featuring some of these families.
But are they doing an investigation about the botched exit of the U.S.?
That's been part of it. There was, back 2 or 3 weeks ago, they actually had a hearing on this where they brought these families in, because it's one of the things that the Republicans, since they gained control of the House, wanted to investigate.
Because it never got an investigative hearing when the Democrats controlled the House. That's the reason for the delay.
Yes. They want to investigate what was behind the blunders that led up to this travesty of withdrawal. It's not about whether we should have got our troops out of Afghanistan. It's how the Biden administration did it.
Right.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
Leaving behind billions of dollars of equipment that is now in Taliban hands.
Well, how about a lot of Afghans who helped us.
That have felt betrayed.
Yes.
Because they were left to the Taliban as well.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Steve.
All right. I'd like to play. This is what I think is the CRT, Black Lives Matter, woke movement in a nutshell.
Okay.
So earlier this week, there was a tragic shooting in Jacksonville, Florida, where a man with an AR-15, I believe, that had some white supremacist scrawlings on it and leanings, killed a couple black men. Clearly,
Three. I think three died.
Yeah. Clearly racially motivated.
Right.
And so, as is his job, without checking his watch, Ron DeSantis goes down to say some words and meet with the families and console the issue.
Because he's the governor.
Because he's the governor.
Right.
At that meeting, at that press conference, he lays into this shooter, calls him a scumbag. He's just an awful person, terrible person. Well, MSNBC didn't like that.
They didn't like what?
They didn't like that he called the guy a scumbag or that he was a terrible person. What they didn't like about it was that that means that it was his individual responsibility. I want you to hear Trymaine Lee was speaking on the MSNBC, and he was talking about this is with Andrea Mitchell's show, and he was talking about why he didn't like Ron DeSantis using a term that made it the shooter's responsibility. Listen to cut 10.
At the vigil, DeSantis called the gunman a scumbag.
You know, for so many folks, the issue with that kind of language is that it places the onus on one individual and the actions of one individual, as opposed to a nationwide sickness of white supremacy in this country and the violence that it fuels. And so as long as he's a scumbag, or as long as there's a mental health issue, you don't have to engage with the idea that there are, co-conspirators online. There are co-conspirators who create legislation that divide in other people. There are all these other forces that are contributing to this kind of violence. But as long as the act of one individual is just a scumbag, then you don't have to take the true issue head on.
How dare you just assign it to one person? It's everybody's responsibility. If you're white, you're guilty of this, and you're not saying so, is what this guy's problem was.
Well, listen, applause for Governor Ron DeSantis on how he handled that situation. It did happen in Jacksonville. He's the governor of the state of Florida. It was racially motivated murders at a Dollar General, I think. Mm-hmm. But three people lost their lives. Did the shooter, was he arrested or he killed too?
I believe he was arrested.
Okay. Anyway, Governor DeSantis attended the funeral service, or at least a
memorial service.
Memorial service for the victims, and spoke directly about racial hatred. There's no place for that. And he called the killer a scumbag. Mm-hmm. And that's what that fellow right there, who's a race baiter, is trying to stir up racial tensions by criticizing Governor DeSantis for calling this guy a scumbag. As we mentioned before here, Fred, we mentioned this yesterday, these folks want to, and most of the time it's liberals, quote, progressive, they want to stir up racial tensions in our country.
The shooter killed himself at the end of this. I'm sorry.
The shooter killed himself. And we mentioned yesterday, listen, in a country of 330 million people, there's going to be something happen today. A black person is going to kill white people. And white people are going to kill black people. And Hispanics are going to kill Asians. I mean, what I'm saying is that when you get in a country as big as we live in, the ethnic ethnicities sometimes are going to be racially motivated for whatever reason to commit crimes against others. That does not mean you don't castigate the whole group, the whole ethnicity. They're good and bad people of all colors, creeds, and beliefs.
Yeah, and shame on Andrea Mitchell for not stopping him.
Right.
When he says this is going on around the country.
Right.
That this guy is part of an organized effort against black people. Stop right there. Tell me, what's your evidence of that?
Right.
She just lets him spew.
Right.
That kind of left-wing ideology.
Right.
As you say, Tim, there, you know, God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the skin color. God looks at the hearts of people who carry out these things.
Right.
And it's not skin color. It's an issue of character.
It's sin.
Martin Luther King talked about character.
Right.
Let's look at the character of individuals.
Right.
But, you know, it's a part of the Democrat strategy. Joe Biden says, I want to be president. I want to unite this country. Tell me what he has done to unite this country. Because he plays the race card every opportunity he can.
Mm-hmm.
He's dividing the country.
Yeah.
For political reasons. Shameful.
So, anyway, Governor DeSantis handled that situation very well, I thought, very compassionately and very professionally. And then also, you know, he's dealing at the same time with the arrival of the hurricane into his state.
Yeah.
So, and then he's suspended, not technically or legally, but his
He's off the campaign trail.
He's
right
off
now.
The campaign trail for obvious reasons. So, because he is obviously running for the Republican nomination for president.
He's right. a busy guy these days.
Busy guy. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Steve.
I'd like to end with a positive story, if we could.
Give us a positive story. Give us a positive story.
There is a country singer. His name is Granger Smith, who apparently is on the rise, or he was, until he said just the other day, he says, I'm leaving the road. I'm leaving country
music. He's not on the road again.
He's not going to be on the road again. He just finished his last tour. And I want you to hear why he says he's leaving country music. Listen to cut 11.
This doesn't feel right. It doesn't. I don't feel like I'm reading the Bible every morning and living it out the way it's telling me that I should. I'm not seeing that reconcile. A lot of people probably think when they hear me talk right now, they probably think, well, why don't you just sing country music, but then talk about God on the stage? Or why don't you sing a couple hymns on the stage? And then, you know, that fixes everything. A lot of pastors and preachers told me that. They're like, country music is your ministry, brother. You're in a dark world. You're bringing light to a dark world. You're going into bars and stages where people might not have heard the message of Christ, and you get to speak it. That is your ministry. And I believed it. And part of me still does believe that. But here's the deal. It wasn't ever about that. It wasn't ever about finding the best platform to tell people about Christ. The first thing that needed to happen was I needed to make myself smaller, because I was exalting myself on the stage. I was glorifying myself. I was seeking praise from people. And by doing that, it doesn't matter if I was proclaiming Christ, because I was doing it in the wrong way. I was proclaiming Christ from a self-exalting platform. And that was the contradiction that I finally had to come to terms with. Like, hey, I might have a stage down the road, but right now I need to completely surrender that and give it over to God and say, hey, I'm going to stop self-exalting.
That's Granger Smith.
Yep.
Country music.
He says he's not going to be a public figure anymore. He and his family are going to serve the church, and he's attending seminary at Southern Seminary.
He had a number one hit single back in 2016. Which I do a cover,
yes,
of called Back Road Song.
He's got some dates. Maybe you can YouTube, go back on the road for him.
I think you can YouTube my cover of that song. And then he had a top 10 hit called If the Boot Fits. It's very rare that somebody gives up fame and fortune to go into the ministry, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But that's what he said God was calling him to do, and good for him. All right, Fred, thank you.
Good to be here.
Steve?
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. My thanks to Abraham Hamilton III, Chris Woodward, Brent Creeley, our producer. Is there anybody I'm missing here? I think that's it, right?
I think that's it.
Pray for our friends, folks who live in Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina in particular. They're being hit hard, even as we speak. Well, the hurricane. We'll see you back here tomorrow.